This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more details, see jodcast.net.
It's Aspen Astronomer Time with Dr. Tim O'Brien. And now we have a question from Paul Ramsden, and he says that, I am in North Manchester, England, and every night this week I have noticed a bright object in the western sky looking up at an angle of about 30 degrees. What is it? Now we have similar questions from Linda Ross, Kevin, and Edward Gallagher.
Yeah, so in fact we got this same question from many different people actually. And of course the answer is it's the planet Venus. It's particularly spectacular in the evening skies. You can see it when the sky starts to go dark on into the evenings from here, set in about 9 p.m.-ish, 9:30 p.m.-ish. I mean, one of the interesting things about that is actually that if you get a chance to have a look at it, of course it's shining by light reflected from the sun, I should say. So in fact it looks like a star. To the naked eye it looks like the brightest star in the sky. Of course the difference between stars and planets is that stars generate their own energy through nuclear fusion at the core, and what that planet Venus is doing is just reflecting the light from the sun. So that's the first important point to make. And then another sort of interesting aspect is that if you take a look through a small telescope at Venus, if you can get your hands on one, you'll see that it's got a phase like the moon. So in fact I looked at it just the other week, it's like a half moon. So it's actually lit by the sun from the side, so you see sort of half of it lit. And, you know, this year's, as we've mentioned many times on the Jodcast, I'm sure, so far this is the International Year of Astronomy. It's 400 years since Galileo used his telescope to look at, people are aware of him looking at Jupiter and seeing the moons, the Galilean satellites of Jupiter, but he also looked at Venus, and in fact he made sketches of the phases of Venus, where he saw this phase change as Venus orbits the sun. And he also noticed that, you know, when it was a full phase, it was like a full moon basically, it appeared at its smallest, and when it was a sort of crescent phase, it appeared at its largest. And the interpretation of that, of course, is that it's orbiting the sun between us and the sun, and, you know, when it goes around the other side of the sun, it's lit in the full phase, and when it's closer to us and therefore appears larger, it's lit as a crescent. So it's quite interesting. You can see that yourself with a telescope.
Oh, thanks for that. And if people are wondering what that bright thing up in the sky is, how is it best for them to find out themselves?
Other than emailing the Jodcast, you mean?
Yes.
probably one of the easiest things is to go and download some software like Stellarium. We quite like Stellarium. It's free. It's quite pretty. www.stellarium.org. Download that software. It will tell you what the night sky looks like from your location on Earth and at any time.
Very good. Thanks for that. Next question from John. He writes, my son asked me a question the other day that I couldn't answer, so I thought I would ask an astronomer. He asked me, when using a powerful telescope to see stars and galaxies, as we know the light takes many millions of years to reach us, so would it be possible to see our own galaxy, but in the distant past, and would we recognize it?
A good question. You're right. I mean, one of the interesting things about astronomy is that the farther away we look in space, the farther back in time we're looking. Because the light's travelling at a finite speed, 300,000 kilometres a second, quite fast, but still not infinite. So even if you look at the sun, you're seeing it as it was 8 minutes ago. When you look at the moon, you're seeing it as it was 1.25 seconds ago. That's how long it takes light to travel that 380,000 kilometres from the moon. But when we look at even the nearest star, the light takes about 4.5 years to get to us. So we're seeing it as it was 4.5 years ago. So the question is, if we were to look, in effect, we're looking back in time. Can we look back in time and see our own galaxy? Well, generally, the answer is no. We are sitting in our own galaxy. So if we look out into space and we look farther back in time, we're looking farther and farther away from our galaxy, back in time. So we're seeing other galaxies as they were many millions and indeed billions of years ago, but not our own galaxy. The only caveat to that question is that whether there might be some exotic curvature of space, which might lead to the universe effectively being folded back in on itself. So you might actually be able to see sort of multiple images of things on the other, on one side of the sky from the, you know, you look in one direction on one side of the sky and you see things, in the same direction on the other side of the sky. But I think that's probably going too far for the Jodcast at the moment. I think the basic answer is no, we don't see ourselves back in time.
And our next question comes from Mike Van Vuren, who asks, how much of the known universe is empty?
Okay, again, an interesting question. I think probably the way to think about this is first of all to say that that the universe there's no part of the universe that's empty. First of all, matter does extend through the whole of the universe. What really I guess we can talk about is what the density of the universe is. So, in other words, for example, you know, take a glass of water or something. The density of that water is 1 gram per cubic centimeter. So in a box, 1 centimeter by 1 centimeter by 1 centimeter of water, and you weighed that, that would basically weigh a gram. So we can ask that question. We can say, okay, well, what's the average density of the Earth, the planet, the Earth? That's about 5 grams per cubic centimeter. So it's sort of rock. It's basically a bit, if you imagine, a bit heavier than water. If you then say, okay, well, you know, planets are one constituent of the universe, sure, but stars are also another major constituent. We can say, well, what's the average density of a star like the Sun? And the average density of the Sun is about 1.4 grams per cubic centimetre, so somewhat less than the Earth, as you might imagine. Of course, it varies. In the middle of the Sun, it's much greater than that. Towards the outer edges, it's much less. But its average density is about 1.4 times that of water, about 1.4 grams per cubic centimetre. You know, there's space between the Sun and the planets, and in fact, that is filled with stuff. Much lower density though. The density of the medium between the planets, the interplanetary medium, is about 5 particles per cubic centimetre, where a particle is basically a sort of a hydrogen atom, let's say. Now that turns out to be about something like 10 to the minus 24 grams per cubic centimetre, that sort of density of the stuff between the stars and between the planets. 10 to the minus 24, that's an incredibly small number. So like 10 to the minus 3 would be 0.001. So 10 to the minus 24 is 0.23 zeros and a 1 grams per cubic centimetre. So in other words, 10 to the power 24 times less dense than water. So what's that? That's a million, 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 million times lower density than water. But it's not empty. The stuff there, we see it, we can pick it up with radio telescopes, we can see it with various other types of telescopes. So I think it's fair to say that the universe is not empty. Now, I mean, one other way of looking at it is to look at the average separation of stars, and you think, okay, people think about stars like filling the sky, but of course there's massive gaps between stars, and in our galaxy, you know, the average separation of stars is around about a light year, you know, of order a light year. Now, a light year is quite a long way. It's actually almost 10 to the power 18 centimetres. So that's sort of, that's a 1 followed by 18 zeros. It's a big number. And if you say, well, how much space does a star occupy, you're thinking about the Sun sitting at the centre of a box, an absolutely huge box. The vast amount of that box is just filled with this stuff between the stars. The star occupies a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of that space. So, you know, when we think about galaxies colliding, you think about, actually, it's just mostly largely low-density empty space that's colliding, and the stars basically miss each other. So I think the answer, how much of the known universe is empty? Well, the answer is, you know, as far as we can see, none of the known universe is empty. It's all got something in it. It's just a question of degree and the density.
Well, there you go. Thank you very much indeed for all those excellent questions coming in. If you have a question about astronomy, astrophysics, or cosmology, do send it to us at the Jodcast at www.jodcast.net, and we'll get Dr. Tim O'Brien to once again answer your question. So many thanks again, Tim.
Okay, thanks, Nick.